I want to continue talking about walking. We started on this like 3 weeks ago, and part of the inspiration was we had been in a time of fasting, and we were talking about resting in the presence of the Lord, right? And my unction, I believe, by the Holy Spirit was, what do we do when we come out of a time of that's precious in the presence of God? Well, it's wonderful to enjoy Jesus, but the people that Jesus actually impacted were not those that watched him do a big miracle. It were those that followed him. So anytime you have an encounter with Jesus, and so I see this morning, and y'all are set up for this, we had an encounter with the presence of God, didn't we? But there's a purpose for it. And every time you get close to the presence of the Lord, he doesn't just want to have you enjoy him. He wants you to go with him somewhere. There's a purpose of going that he's always drawing us and calling us into. And it's not going to be something we can just say, I already understand that, and put it into our category of what we think it is. It's so much deeper than that. So I'm going to spend, I thought I was going to do this all today, but can you hang with me on this? I want to do this for another 4 weeks. Can we do that, including today? I want to talk about walking. You know, and 3 weeks ago, you guys were Las Vegas, I think, or something like that. This is my daughter and her husband, our daughter. My wife does that to me all the time. My child. They've come to be with us, and it's just such a blessing to have them here with us. But coming out of the fast, we started talking about walking and all the sensors that are continually being activated every time you take a step. And your response, it's not just the sensing coming in. It's like your eyes are seeing something to tell you where to go. Your toes, aren't you grateful for toes? It's like they kind of help you stay up, you know. It's like, but like that tiny little toe down there is part of your walking process, and it's a continue. It's an infinite amount. It's a continually flowing amount of information that has to take place all the time. And so when we talk about walking with the Lord that he's asked us to walk with, it's going to be a continual process that we can't just put it into a category of devotion in the morning or something. You know? It's going to affect every part of our life. Amen? If it's going to be real, if we're actually going to be walking in him. And here's the precarious part of that. It's like we were talking about this morning. You don't have to. You can step out of it any time. Yeah. He's so gracious, he'll take you right back. But if you want to walk, it's going to be in him. Amen? So I'm going to talk about walking in the Spirit today. Are you excited?
Yes.
All right. So everybody has their notes, I see. And I'm going to dive into this. Let's just talk to the Father real quick before we do this. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to lean on our understanding at all. But in all of our ways, we can acknowledge you. And you tell us the steps to take. You guide us. You take us into a life that's not just meaningless, but a life that has kingdom purpose. So, Father, we just recognize today that this is a growing process for us. Lord, we're on a learning curve here. And God, you know us. You know that about us better than we do by far. But God, we want you to take us a little bit further in the understanding of what it means to answer your call to follow you, to walk with you, and to live with you. And God, we thank you that that's what you're all about. And you're not one to condemn us and tell us how badly we've walked in the past. You just want to take our hand and go somewhere with us today. And so thank you for your Holy Spirit that's going to help us with it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a statement here at the beginning, and this kind of coming out of our fasting time. But also this morning, also it says, with every encounter with Jesus, where sensitivity to the influence of the world is replaced by awareness of him, there comes an invitation to walk with him. And we looked at this 3 weeks ago, that every time he had an encounter with somebody, he said, Now come walk with me after this. He always had this invitation to come walk, right? Okay. And what we found out was to really be changed by God, it's not in just the revelation, it's not in just the prophecy that was said over you. It's in the walking that takes place after that. That actually, that's when the transformation occurs. Aren't you grateful that we're being changed from glory to glory? Yes. Right into his perfect image? But what do you have to do from the glory that you've been in? You have to take a step to go into the next glory. Amen? Yes. So transformation and arriving at the intended destiny take place in the walk. So this walk thing is so critical. Amen? So what I'm going to do, and we're gonna start on this today, but I want to do four of these, and it's like, I thought, there's no way I'm going to get all this in a way. I'm going to have to go too fast, and it's just not going to be good. But I saw three aspects of this. To walk in him, initially, it's going to have to just be in the Spirit. Now, it's all going to be in the Spirit, but it's an aspect of it that we're going to talk about today. And next week, I want to look at it. If you're going to walk with him, it's going to be by faith, right? Now, these overlap, but I think we can focus on each one of these and really get some good stuff from this. Amen? Yeah. And then, faith. How many know that faith is just meaningless without? Yeah, but what kind of works? Love, right? It actually works by love. So this love walk is going to have its own aspect that we can look at. Amen? Yeah. Man, you guys are getting so excited. I'm really feeling just lift it up. I don't know if I can even talk anymore. Okay. And then, this is cool. What did he say you're going to do when you go out and you're walking? He said, I'm going to be with you all the time, right? And you're going to walk on some stuff. I don't like the idea of this too much, but serpents, scorpions. What are we doing? We're above them. The things that we could be afraid of, that walk, and it's not something that we can just opt out of. No, because we have snakes and we have serpents. And either we just let them live there or we step on them. Amen? Man, aren't you glad I didn't get into all of this at once? But this is what's to come. So, but I want to start here out of Galatians first because it talks about walking in the Spirit and there's going to be evidence of it. Amen? You can't just say, you just leave me alone. You never walked in my shoes. Right? No, we can see what shoes you're walking in by the fruit that's coming off of you. Is that right? So walking produces a clear identity. It's not just something it's not just the path you're walking on. It changes who you are. Amen? In behaviors of the heart. So this is why it's so precious. Jesus says, come, be transformed with me. By changing every step you take to be affected by me. Amen? Yeah. I'm just going to read through this. I'll draw some stuff out as we go. But I thought about doing just a part of it. And I thought, we got to have all this. Are you with me? Yeah. Can you say, we have to have all of this? Yeah. All right, that's good. That's good. All right. See, I thought about abbreviating it. But then you just told me no. So I have to keep going. Okay. I say then, walk in what? In the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh does what? It lusts against the Spirit. That means there's this war going on. Either the flesh is always wanting to say, I got a path for you to walk on. And there's things that are gratifying about that path that it makes it enticing to go on it. That's why it's lust. What is lust? Wanting something, right? And the flesh is always warring against what the Spirit says needs to happen. And the Spirit is always going to, it says this is what's going to happen. So you have to become aware of this. Aren't you grateful we've been given the Spirit like we have? And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. They don't get along. So don't try to marry your flesh with your Spirit. Amen? It's going to be a quick divorce. Or maybe you won't even get to the altar, you know? It's like... But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That means you're not under the confining things of the flesh. Is that right? Now, the works of the flesh are evident. You're going to see them, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. I'm not going to break, go down into any one of these, but a lot of times we just want to sit back in our religious comfort and start looking at folks that we think fall in the line of this kind of stuff. Label for somebody else, right? But he doesn't just stop with that really terrible R-rated stuff. He gets into some PG stuff, you know, that's kind of, oh, I think maybe we might identify with some of this, right? Okay. All right. Where am I? Okay. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred. That's one of those PG things, right? It's like, contentions. How many have get into contention? Jealousies. He started off really heavy, and now he's getting into stuff that's like, right? Outbursts of wrath. Ouch. Selfish ambitions. Well, can you define that a little bit better? Because, right? Wow. Dissensions, heresies, envy. Then he goes back to heavy stuff. Murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things, okay, what's happening when you're practicing these things? And you know, you would think we just got delivered from the law. It's not the law. No, it's a path you've chosen. Is that right? He says, because you're doing these things, and it's not that you have to. It's kind of like we talked about, the Holy Spirit's not going to make you do something. He's not going to make you be right. You get to choose. Is that right? But every step you take that you're choosing this way is a path. It's a walk that isn't the walk of the Spirit. Is that right? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? The destination of that path doesn't arrive at the kingdom of God. Is that right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Sounds like a bunch of really silly people. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Well, that doesn't sound very engaging. Gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You're never violating anything with these. Is that right? But where is this coming from? Your choice of walk. Amen? It's not, sometimes we look at this and we want to say, and I've experienced this, a lot of preaching against this stuff. You better stop doing this stuff. Whether or not you're doing this stuff is not the problem. It's where you're walking. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, you won't do these things. Amen? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, all that. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's, how many are Christ's today? Amen? So this is so precious. This is how God sees us, whether we're doing that other stuff or not. He sees us walking in the Spirit. So much so that he gave Jesus as the investment of that. Is that right? And those who are Christ have done what? They've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us do what? Walk in the Spirit. That means there's going to be some steps. I thought about this way. What God really likes is the sound of harmonious praise going up to him and burning flesh. Have you ever thought about the temple, you know, where they were sacrificing animals and stuff? And we think about the sweet smell of worship unto God. You know what it was? It was burnt flesh. Right? Because what happens when flesh is burning? The Spirit can be walked in. And you're not going to be walking in the Spirit without some burning flesh. Is that right? It's not a bad thing. I thought about, I had a conversation with my fitness guru now. I won't call you Justin like I did on Jason. Jason. Because how many workout? How many diet? How many enjoy either one? I don't like the idea before I do, but I really like how it helps me with my health. You know what I mean? And it's like, because we were talking about running, I'm grateful I had a coach that kind of got me into some running when I was in high school. And what I've learned is there's a form that you have to take, but then for me, it takes me about 5 minutes of burning flesh before I can get into the flow of actually running, where I'm kind of enjoying it, you know. And then towards the end, the flesh kind of wins, and I kind of crumble. But I was thinking there is some correlation with that, because you're not going to be healthy in your body if you always listen to your flesh when it comes to the decision to get up off the couch or go for a walk. Right. Is that right? The same thing. You're never going to be healthy in your body if you choose to do what your flesh wants to do. It's like my wife sets these things out on the counter. They're Valentine's treats. You have to partake of them if you're going to honor her at all. See, isn't that deceptive how that can be? It's like, I'm just honoring my wife. You know what I mean? Yeah, she says, don't complain when you're looking at your bubbling midsection, you know. It's like, why? Because everything that is going to produce, being scholastically driven, it's going to take some energy or some brain cells are being expended upon this, right? But the reward is what? It's a promise. There's a promise presented there. That if I continue on this path, denying my flesh is the only way I'm going to get there. Amen? And this is directly related to us in the spirit, is we have an opposition to where God wants to take us to. Amen? All right, let me keep going here. So if walking in the spirit is so critical, I just want to look at three things that we can do to focus on walking in the spirit. And sometimes we think, and I grew up in a full gospel. My dad was a pastor, and man, we had these wonderful times around the altar where you're just lost in the spirit. And I mean, those connect your heart to God. You know, I went to college and I studied some classes in college where they put all religions together and they make them look all the same, and they challenge what you believe as far as stories go. But I walk out of the class and say, okay, maybe there's some similar stories here, but man, I got something in here, you know, that I can't deny. I've got a relationship with somebody here that makes me believe everything else. Amen? It's the anchor for my belief. And that's why it's so important to have something way beyond just theology. Amen? So, but I want to look at this because there's three different aspects we can look at with regard to walking in the Spirit, and it's not all just going to be floating on heavenly clouds. It's actually, God brings us down to earth so that walking in the Spirit is very foundational. See, I kind of prayed towards that today. I don't know if you remember that or not, but that was part of what I felt God had me pray a little bit earlier or prophesy over. So there's three different aspects I want to look at real quick. Are y'all good? Man, I'm going to get this. All right. Hearing or consuming God's word. Actually, this is where it needs to begin. Amen? Now, I'm grateful. How do we come to Jesus? What's our first spiritual step that we take? It's in the spirit that we're receiving from him, aren't we? We're actually responding to a being. But how did we get there? It was a word that was spoken, wasn't it? We didn't come to him just out of randomness. We just happened to fall. Ah, who's this? I think I'll accept him as my Savior. No, there was the gospel that was preached. It's the word that establishes a step in the spirit. Amen? So, there's going to be the word. There's going to be continual prayer. And we'll look at this, okay? There needs to be communication. And what is prayer? It's not just asking God for stuff. It's actually communing with him, isn't it? Having a conversation. Okay? And then if there's a conversation, he's going to have something to say, isn't he? It's not just what we're saying to him. He's going to say something to us. And you cannot walk in the Spirit without responding to what he says. Amen? If God gives us something while we're having that conversation and we decide not to go that way, we're not in the Spirit anymore. We're not walking in the Spirit. Amen? Okay, so this first one, the Word. Spirit steps come from the Word received. Man, I like this out of John 6:63. Jesus said this. He said, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Oh, man, that helps me in my spiritual ascendance. I just want to get in the Spirit. And look what Jesus says next. And the very words I have spoken to you are Spirit. They are life. Don't you like this? It takes you out of the world of snowflakes. Just a side note. My nurse, I found out on the last day in Turkey, her name was Berfin, which is snowflake. I don't know, that just came together. But we don't want to just be spiritual snowflakes that can be blown around. Amen? So what does the Word do is it establishes us in a spiritual realm that is not shaky. Isn't this good? So if we're going to walk in the Spirit, it's going to start in the Word. All right? The path is lit by the Word. Psalm 119, 105. It's just amazing how much David had revelation of this. Right? It's the longest chapter about the Word. Amen? Because what God says will light a path for us. Amen? It's not some woo. That's not where we get our direction. We get it from the Word of God. Amen? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. That wasn't a very good Amy Grant imitation, but my wife will be doing a better impression at the end of the service. Okay. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's not just a wonderful song. That's the way we walk in the Spirit. Amen? We wait for the word of God to shine a light. And then we can walk that way. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. The Spirit will bring remembrance and revelation of the Word from the inside. I like this part of it because it's a combination. How many have found this out? There's stuff. I've heard teaching about certain things from the Word since I was a kid. And it's like all of a sudden a light goes on. And it's like, have you ever experienced that? And it's like, until the light goes on, you can't really do anything with it. Is that right? So there needs to be this combination of the Word, what God has said, but then an ushering in of the one that will instruct you on what that actually means. Amen? And it's a really cool thing because then it becomes spiritual. Spirit to spirit gets revelation of the Word's legitimacy. Amen? There is so much more, Jesus is saying. The Spirit will bring remembrance. There's so much more I want to tell you. And this is cool. I'm so grateful that we have the Word. But sometimes I need revelation of where to go right now. Amen? I'm not going to get that if I haven't been going on what He's already given me from the Word. Is that right? I can't expect to have any confidence in anything else I'm hearing if I haven't been doing what I've already heard. From the Word. Amen? He says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Don't you like this? I like this, guide you into all. That's not just where you're sitting on your lazy boy. I have a lazy boy at home that I get tired of after a while. And it's not meant to just go humming, humming, humming. I need to get out of that chair and go somewhere. You know, does that make sense? It says, because the purpose of truth is not for you to contain it or to perceive it. It's for you to go somewhere with it. Is that right? So I like this guide word because what he's going to guide you into a spirit walk that's based upon the word. Amen? Because it's not just a random thing, because listen to what he says. He will not speak on his own. So it won't just be some random meandering. No, it's based upon, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about even the future. Isn't this cool? So when it comes to the word, it's not just ancient things that we're trying to draw some kind of. No, the word of God is continual. It goes before us. Amen? It becomes prophetic. But it won't if you're not honoring what we've been given in Scripture. Is that right? If we're not even doing some of these things. Praise God. Okay, so it's going to be based upon the word. We're getting some foundation for walking in the Spirit. Huh, it's the word. That didn't sound like it really goes together, but it does. It's where it starts. Amen? Okay, now from the word, we can begin to have communion with God. And this needs to be a part of our communion with God. Not just, hey, God, did you see the latest Netflix? No. I'm grateful that we can talk to him on a natural basis. But it's going to be about his word. Amen? Even prayer unto him for things that we need. We can't come up with stuff ourselves. It's an unction from the Spirit. Amen? But here's what happens. It's like that proverb. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, we prayed about this a little bit this morning already. But in all your ways, acknowledge it. That sounds like a walk to me, where you're always getting the input of what he has to say about something. Yeah. And how is that going to be? Here's what's really cool about this. I want to just touch on real quick, because some people want to just say, I'm just waiting to hear from God. You know what? He's waiting to hear from you. You need to start the conversation, because he's been talking to you for a long time.
That's good.
Okay. Ephesians 6:18. To walk in the Spirit is to converse with him continually. I mean, I'm being stirred with this. If he's this great God that he is, how could I ever ignore him throughout the day? Right? And how do you know when somebody's ignoring you? And they don't ever say anything to you. Is that right? There's got to be a way where we can be just talking to him all the time. Amen? I like to do this. I won't use myself as an example. Let's keep going. Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Sometimes we can think, well, that's praying in tongues. Not necessarily. It could be praying from your spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. We should be able to say that about ourselves. Amen? My words aren't just flesh. Amen? They can be spirit-inspired. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Because what are you doing when you're praying? You're acknowledging him. Amen? And then the way flesh works, what you are acknowledging is what you're communing with, what you are talking about, what you're talking to, and it's determining your steps that you're taking. Amen? Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. You know what? We always have something. We're always thinking about something anyway. We're always concerned about something, aren't we? God says, just talk to me. All right? When released by faith, our words are empowered to be effective by the Spirit. And we'll get into the faith side of this. But here's why it's so important to have our mouths engaged continually in communion, in reminding God of what, you know, have you heard this, that we're supposed to remind God of what he's promised us about? Did you know he's not having a problem with his memory? It's ours that we're renewing. Is that right? When we say it. But it's so important for us to do that. He likes it. He said, I know I said that, but I'd really like for you to say that. Amen? Because what it does is it activates the power of faith when we do. Amen? And in the same way, Romans 8:26, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and in our praying. For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. Isn't that great? That there's an unction from the Spirit that when you begin to actually activate your spirit in talking to God, and not just talking to Him about stuff that's in your mind, what you're going through, your emotions, you actually get over into the realm of the Spirit, you're talking to Him. Amen? And what He does, anytime we make an action towards Him, He infuses it with grace. What is that? That goes beyond what we can come up with ourselves. Is that right? And so what does that do? It makes our prayer to be effective. How many have prayed and you thought, sheesh, that didn't get off the basement floor? You know what I mean? But when you live a life of talking to Him all the time, it becomes something where your spirit can be activated by that word that you've been meditating on. The Spirit's been guiding you into. And now when you talk to Him, it's not just out of your emotions or your flesh. It's out of your spirit. Amen? I believe that's where mountain-moving declarations come from.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
They don't just come from anybody randomly seeing that and say, I think I'll talk to a mountain today. They come from somebody who has been continually talking to their Father.
Yeah.
Amen? It's a growth process. I love this, that we don't have to be condemned. We just grow from here.
Yeah.
Amen?
All right,
don't you like that one? I like that translation. It kind of helps me to... We have a gift of the Spirit that will help us, but I like to be able to see what it's actually doing. Amen? All right, replace frustration with confident expectancy by requests clothed in gratitude. So I'm hitting some highlights here. Y'all are with me, right? We're talking about prayer now. But what happens? We have anxiety. We have something we're going through, don't we? And I love this passage. It's Philippians 4:6. It says, don't worry about anything.
Yeah.
Amen? What does worry do? It releases your flesh to become your guide. Is that right? And you're going to follow after worry. You're going to make decisions after worry. Amen? What does he say? Don't worry about anything. He said, instead, pray about everything. You are a weirdo. Don't you want to be a weirdo? I want to be a weirdo if that's what it is, right? But I'm so grateful that God can make it to where it's actually functional. We can actually fit into our families. And all the time, we can be aware of the presence of God. Amen? Affirming and confirming what He's promised us. Amen? And then anytime something that comes along, how many have buttons that get you just, you're gone? You're already there. You're already worried. You're already anxious. It's like, ah! Does that ever happen? I love that we can still go back. Amen? There's always a place for us to go back. I said, I'm just going to pray. How many have tried this? You've gotten really anxious? And then you just said, and the part that is very necessary in this, and don't forget to thank Him. So there can be, even for us as Christians, thinking, well, I just haven't prayed the right prayer yet. Because obviously nothing's happened. I need to be a little bit more anxious. I need to add a little bit of anxiety to my prayer. I think that's what it meant with the effectual fervent prayer requires a lot of anxiety. It's not what it means, does it?
No.
That means you're so on fire by what God said about this that you don't have a drop of worry left.
Right.
Amen? Amen? But you don't have it if you're segregated from God.
Yeah.
If you're not even thinking about what He had to say. But when you're reminding Him all the time of that word that you've received from Him, His by the Spirit, amen?
Yes.
It causes there to be a confidence. Now, you can take a step that you wouldn't have ever taken before.
Yeah.
Amen? You can take a step in confidence because it's been established. Isn't this good?
Yeah.
And then when you say thanks, what is that? That's like, it's already done. Amen? It's like I wrote a song. It's called Sound. I just like the idea of it. Go look it up. It's a really good song. But you can tell whether somebody's won or not by the sound coming out of their mouth. You can tell which team won by what kind of song they're playing. Amen? You didn't have to watch any of the game. You don't have to know what. You know who won when you get into who's high-fiving, who's, what are they doing? They're saying, thanks, we won. They're not even trying anymore. There's no effort being made at this point. The battle's won. Is that right? So what do? You don't worry about anything at all. No, you take it to him and slam dunk. We're won. We won. Amen? So if you won, you say thanks. Amen? And a critical part of it. Okay, and one more thing. Are y'all good? So this becomes very important. We need to be able to talk to God about things. We need to not be in, first of all, we find out about what God says about things, right? And then we begin to talk to him about them. And then we let him talk to us. Because our steps aren't just ordered by what we see in the Spirit. They're ordered by what he tells us to do in the Spirit. And the more we walk in this, the more we live in this, the more we're going to be attuned to when he tells us to do something. How many knows he doesn't just shout with a megaphone at us, please take that step right over there. No, it's usually it's so quiet that you won't hear it over that basketball game on TV or the, right? Or even the sound of your kids, the raucous of your kids making all these things, right? But what's cool is you can get to where you hear that voice even in the midst of a cacophony of sound. Amen? But it doesn't just happen automatically. We have to be intentional with it. My wife's word. All right, it's your turn now. We're doing take. I'm scared. So this prompt obedience. And here's the thing. For your next step to be a spirit step, it can't be a delayed step.
Come on.
It has to be immediate. Is that right? Because if you delay, you're not going to go that way, and the door of opportunity will close too. Is that right? Walking in the Spirit is continual readiness to respond to his revealed will. Amen? Man, I thought I understood about walking in the Spirit. I thought I was just rejoicing that I do walk in the Spirit. So now it's like, we got some doing to do, right? Like, what's his name? Splaining to do? I love Lucy. We got some.
Ricky.
Ricky had some splaining to do. Yeah. Oh, she had splaining to do. He had some doing to do. That's what, we're on the Ricky part of this game. So that walking in the Spirit is continual readiness to respond to his revealed will. We've been talking to him. He's talking to us, and he says, you know what? There's a way for you to go. It becomes very critical that our response is immediate. I just wonder how many opportunities have been missed. They have to be plenteous. Is that right?
Yeah.
But how many opportunities are right before us that require the culturing of this understanding? Amen?
Good.
Jesus replied, because I will only reveal myself to those who love me and obey me. So he's basically saying, you don't love me if you don't have an immediate response. Is that right? The Father will love them too, and he will come to them and live with them. Who? Anybody that made Jesus their Savior 30 years ago? No, people that are walking with him. Is that right? It would actually explain a lot how people aren't experiencing what they thought they had in God. It's because they're just not walking there. Anyone who doesn't obey me doesn't love me. And that's not a whine. It's a declaration. And remember, I am not making up this answer to your question. I like this part. So this isn't just me talking. It is the answer given by the Father who sent me. This is the God, this is the Father's way. He said, there's no walking. When Jesus said, come follow me, he meant, come obey me. Come love me. Amen? And every love walk, and we'll get to the love walk part of it, has an obedience directly associated with it. Man, this is fun, isn't it? Aren't you ready to go walk in the Spirit? Anybody? Jason invited us to go for a 10K run the other night. He didn't get anybody to go. Let's go for a walk. We might get some more people to go for a walk. It's amazing how longer I can walk than I can run. For a walk to be in the Spirit, the very next step must be in obedience to His directives. There is no walk in the Spirit that's apart from His directive. Ah, amen? That's why if we're walking in the Spirit, it's not even possible to give in to the flesh. Isn't that cool? So our focus is not avoiding the flesh. It's just walking in the Spirit. Amen? The next morning, Abraham... what's this verse coming after? It's like... I think I might get to where I just don't want to answer the phone if God's calling me and asking me to kill my kids every day, you know? But Abraham had been walking with God for so long. He'd become so confident in God's direction for his life. Amen? Yeah. You know, there's some things that aren't going to make sense to us that are required for us to get to the fullness of God's plan for our life. Amen? That require us jumping out of bed the next day when the most precious thing in our life, he's asking us to let go. Amen? It's kind of like Jesus with that rich young ruler. What you're going to have to do first is give up everything that you think is so precious. And you know what? You know, in one way or another, that's what he's asking of everybody. Till you lose your life, you don't find his. Amen? Yeah. And you were all with me till I got to this part, right? But what did Abraham do? And what, you know, he never saw all those nations that God promised him. But man, every step he took was... And his righteousness wasn't because of something he did. It was his obedience. Amen? Yeah. Oh, this is powerful. So the next morning, Abraham got up. Right after God said, you got to go sacrifice your son. He got up early. And he didn't just get up and say, I'm going to go. No, he had all the things that it was going to be necessary to do to be able to fulfill this. Isn't this amazing? And God didn't tell him all those other things. Sometimes we say, I did it unless God tells me to do it. It's like, no, God gives us the big picture. And we, out of the resources that he's given us, we said, this is how it's going to happen, and I'm going to make it happen. Amen? He chopped wood for a fire upon the altar, saddled his donkey, and took with him his son Isaac and two young men who were his servants, and started off to the place where God had told him to go. Man, this is a spirit walk. Don't you know there was some burning flesh? Amen? This was precious before God. Every step he took towards that mountain, you would think, that had to be heart-wrenching for Abraham. I don't know. He was in obedience to his father. And he said, even if I slay him, God will raise him. Amen? There's this place in the walk of the Spirit that gets you above the ability of the flesh to keep you from going there, no matter how heart-wrenching it might be. This is real, isn't it? Amen? And God is offering this to us. God is, again, I said, every wonderful encounter. We had a wonderful encounter in the Spirit this morning. There's something on the other side of this. I just want to let you know. Jesus is saying, now come walk with me. Amen? Otherwise, that was just superfluous. It wasn't really accomplishing anything unless you're deciding to go for a walk on the other side of it. Amen? All right, just a couple more. The blessings of the extended walk with God only come by developed immediate responses to the Spirit's every impulse. Just interject this, that there is a... How many love the blessings of God, the promises of God? Amen? They're actually a destination that's on a spirit walk. They're that's where we're going to, amen? That's why patience is involved for some things. Because there's going to be a period of time where you're going to walk it out. Amen? Romans 8:14, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. I like this. What are mature? It's like, what do mature people do? Stuff that you would never let your kids do. We were walking, I think, in the terminal or something. This kid's just, I said, Kim, what would happen if I did that right now? they call the truck and take me away somewhere, you know, it's like, but also there's things that I can do that you would never let them do too. Put me behind the wheel of a car, you know, there's some other things. There's blessings that we get only in maturity. Is that right? We don't get to whine anymore. But those are some of the blessings that are our promise that require maturity. Yeah. And maturity only happens as we grow in this ability to walk in the Spirit. Can you see that? It's not just those who enjoy the presence of God. It's those that are moved by the presence of God. Amen? By the direction of the Holy Spirit. All right. Faithful following the Spirit leads to inevitable freedom. I just went in on this because we're going somewhere. Amen? In the walk of the Spirit, we have a destination that is freedom. Amen? And I don't like to put freedom in one box. It's freedom from everything. Amen? It's freedom from lack. It's freedom from sickness. It's freedom from all these things that requires a walk in the Spirit. Amen? Aren't you grateful for these little clues to what walking is this morning? John 8:31. Jesus said to the people who believe in him, he's talking to the choir, right? Remember what happened when he fed the 5,000and then he told them, but you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And then they all left except for his disciples. And what did he say to the 12? He said, are y'all ready to go too? Because the truth of this reality that we're talking about this morning is doesn't care about how you feel about it, whether you're going to be on board or not. Right. Is that right? Now this is the way it is. If you want to be a part of it, then you're actually going to be what's called a disciple. That means you're disciplined. Your flesh doesn't get its way. The Spirit guides your steps. Amen? Because Jesus, he said, he's talking to the people who believed in him. And he says, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to what? My teachings. What does that mean? When I say something, it becomes your step. Amen? When I say something, you don't just hail to the church where they preach that. You walk it out in your life. Amen? And then the famous statement that all parties of all kinds of ideology like to say, and the truth will set you free. The truth sets nobody free until they've been walking in it already. Amen? It's not just knowing the truth. It's walking in the truth. Amen? And how do you come? Because he did say, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But how do you even come to know the truth? I'm so grateful that the Spirit has come to guide us into that. But he's come to guide us. What does that mean? He's saying over here, hello, this is the way we need to go. And you won't even know that truth, even though he's the guide to truth, until you go to the truth. Is this making any sense? Amen? And then there's freedom. Praise God. There's freedom in that response to his direction.